They knew that publishing the ideas would get them credit from the community, and meanwhile, anybody else who wanted to compete with them would still have to write a program, which is the big job. So they typically kept the details of the program secret. Of course, some of us think that's wrong, but that's a different issue. They kept the details of the program secret, and they published the ideas. And meanwhile, the software development, because software development was going on, that provided the field with a steady stream of ideas. So ideas were not the limiting factor. The limiting factor was the job of writing programs that would work and that people would like using. So in effect, applying the patent system to software focuses on facilitating a thing which is not the limiting factor, while causing trouble for the thing which is the limiting factor. You see, the software patents encourage somebody to have an idea, but at the same time, they encourage people to restrict its use. So in fact, we're actually worse off now in terms of having ideas we could use, because in the past, people had the ideas and published them and we could use them. And now, they have the ideas and patent them and we can't use them for 20 years. In the meantime, the real limiting factor, which is developing the programs, this is hampered by software patents because of all the dangers that I explained to you in the first half of this talk. So the result is that while this system is supposed to be promoting progress in software, actually it is so screwed up, it's just obstructing progress. Today we have some economic research showing mathematically how this can happen. You can find it in www.researchoninnovation.org. And I'm not completely sure of the name of the paper, but it's one that shows that in a field where incremental innovation is typical, having a patent system can result in slower progress. In other words, the system produces counterintuitive results that are the opposite of what it was intended to do. This backs up the intuitive conclusion of every programmer who sees that software patents are absurd. So, what can a country do to avoid this problem? Well, there are two approaches. One is to address the problem at the issue of granting patents, and the other is to approach it at the point where patents are being enforced. Now, doing this at the stage of granting patents is not quite as easy as you might think. Now, I've been talking about software patents, but strictly speaking, you can't classify patents into hardware patents and software patents, because one patent might cover both hardware and software. So in fact, my definition of a software patent is a patent that can restrict software development. So since it's and if you look at many software patents, you will often find that the system they describe has a large part of the computer itself as part of the description of what's going on. That's a great way of making the whole thing seem complicated when it's really trivial. So it's a way they can get the patent office to decide it's unobvious. But there is a different criterion that can be used, a slightly different place to draw the line that still does a reasonable job. And that is between processes that transform matter in a specific way and processes where the result is just a calculation and display of information, or a combination of data processing and display steps, or others have put it as mental steps being carried out by equipment. There are various ways of formulating this which are more or less equivalent. Now, this is not exactly the same as prohibiting software patents, because in some cases, computers are used as part of specific physical equipment to make it do a specific thing. And software patents might be allowed if they are part of a specific physical activity, but that's not really a disaster. After all, once people are involved in a specific physical activity or specific physical product, they're bringing into their whole business all of those complexities of dealing with matter. So it's more like those other fields of engineering. Maybe it's okay to have patents on that narrow kind of software, as long as we can keep the core areas of software, the purely software activities, safe from patents, we have solved the bulk of the problem. So that is a feasible approach, and that's what people are working towards in Europe. However, that is not going to be any use in the United States, because the United States already has tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of software patents. Any change in the criteria for issuing patents does not help at all with the patents that already exist. So what I've proposed for the United States is to change the criteria for applying patents, to say that purely software systems running on general purpose computing hardware are immune from patents. They, by definition, cannot infringe a patent. And this way, the patents can still be granted exactly the way they are now, and they can still, in a formal sense, cover both hardware implementations and software implementations as they do now, but software will be safe. So that's the solution I've proposed for the US, but it could be used in other countries as well. Now, one of the tremendous dangers facing most countries today is the World Trade Organization, which sets up a system of corporate regulated trade, not free trade as its proponents like to call it, but corporate regulated trade. It replaces the regulation of trade by governments that are somewhat democratic and might listen to the interests of their citizens with regulation of trade by businesses which don't pretend to listen to the citizens. So it's fundamentally anti-democratic and ought to be abolished. But it's crucial to note that the part of the GATT agreement which deals with patents does not require software patents. Many experts who have studied this, for instance in Europe, make this claim. And the reason is that they interpret technical effect as there's a specific physical consequence or physical system going on. And so the software that doesn't do that doesn't have to be in the domain that patents can cover. So at least you don't have to worry about the World Trade Organization causing problems here, despite the tremendous problems they cause to, in other areas of life. Preventing India from having software patents will be up to you, to the citizens of India. I am a foreigner. I have no influence except when I can convince other people through the logic of what I say. There is a chance that you can do this. When the US started to have software patents, the public policy question was not considered at all. Nobody even asked whether it was a good idea to have software patents. The Supreme Court made a decision which was then twisted around by an appeals court, and ever since then there were software patents. But when Europe started to consider officially authorizing software patents a few years ago, public opposition started to rise and became so strong that the politicians and the parties began paying attention to it and started saying that they were against it. In fact, two attempts to authorize software patents have been blocked already in Europe. The French Minister of Industry says that software patents would be a disaster and under no circumstances should they be allowed in France. All of the German political parties have taken a stand against software patents. The battle is not yet over. You know, we have not conclusively blocked software patents in Europe because the multinational companies and their servant, the United States government, is lobbying very hard, and they have ignorance on their side. It's so easy for somebody with a naive neoliberal view to be persuaded that a new kind of monopoly has to be good. You have to look at the details of how software patents affect software development to see that they cause a problem. You know, you have to study that economic research in its mathematics in order to see why you shouldn't assume that patents always promote progress. So it's easy for IBM to send a lobbyist to someone and say, you should really adopt software patents. They're great for programming. And look, the US is ahead, and the US has software patents. If you have software patents too, you might catch up. Well, you can't get more dumb than that. I mean, the US was ahead in computers before it had software patents. It can't be because of software patents. It's important to understand that each country has its own patent system and its own patent laws, and what you do in a certain country is under the jurisdiction of that country's patent law. So the result is that if the US has software patents, the US becomes a sort of battleground where anybody using computers might get sued. If India avoids software patents, then India is not a battleground, and computer users in India do not face this danger of getting sued. So it turns out that each country will issue patents to foreigners just as to its own citizens. So in fact, in a place which has this scourge of software patents, foreigners can own those patents. There are lots of non-US companies that own US software patents. So they're all welcome to get involved in the fighting in the US. Of course, it's we Americans who become the victims of this. Meanwhile, in India, if there are no software patents, that means both Indian companies and foreign companies are prevented from coming into India and attacking people with software patents. So, yes, it is important that each country has its own patent law. That makes a big difference, but you've got to understand what difference it makes. Having software patents in a certain country is not an advantage for the developers in that country. It's a problem for anybody distributing and using software in that country. Now, if you in India are developing a program for use in the US, you may face the problem, or at least your client will face the problem of US software patents. At least probably you can't get sued here. You know, the client who commissioned the program and tries to use it might get sued in the US. And indeed, you will have to deal with the problem, the US's problems, when you try doing business in the US. But at least you'll be safe here. You know, at least it's a big difference between your client got sued because your client told you to make a product and that product is patented versus you get sued for making that product. If there are software patents in India, then you will get sued. Whereas in the current situation, at least you can say to the client, well, we did our job, you told us to make this and we made it, so I'm sorry this happened to you, but it's not our fault. Whereas if there are software patents in India, you'll get sued yourself, and there's nothing you can say about that. So the ultimate conclusion is that software patents tie all software developers, all computer users and essentially all businesses in a new kind of bureaucracy which serves no beneficial social purpose. So it's a bad policy and it should be avoided. Businesses don't like bureaucracy. If businesses knew that they were threatened with a new kind of bureaucracy, they would oppose software patents very strongly. But most of them aren't aware of this. In the US, software patents have led directly to business method patents. What does this mean? A business method is basically how you make decisions about what to do in the business. And in the past, these decisions were made by humans, but now sometimes they're made by computers. And that means they're carried out by software, and that means the decision policies can be patented. So software patents imply business method patents and business procedure patents. So the result is that any business could find itself, you know, once they decide we're going to automate the way we carry out our procedures, that now they get sued with a software patent. So if businesses only knew, they would be organizing through things like the Chamber of Commerce to demand opposition to software patents. But mostly they don't know. And therefore, it's going to be your job to inform them. Make sure they understand the danger that they're facing. And then India may be able, with the help of other countries like France and Germany, to reject software patents. It is important for people in the Indian government to make contact with officials in European countries so that this battle against software patents doesn't have to be fought one country at a time, so that countries can work together to adopt an intelligent policy. Maybe there should be a no software patents treaty that various countries can sign and promise each other aid when they are threatened by economic pressure from the United States or as part of its economic imperialism. Because the United States likes to do that. You know, one of the provisions in the GATT agreement is that countries have the right to make compulsory licenses for making medicine to address a public health crisis. And the South African government proposed to do this for medicine against AIDS. Now, South Africa has a very bad problem with AIDS. The figures I heard was that a quarter of the adult population is infected. And of course, most of them can't afford to buy these medicines at the prices charged by the US companies. So the South African government was going to issue compulsory licenses, which even under GATT, it's allowed to do. But the United States government threatened economic sanctions. Vice President Gore was directly involved with this. And then about a year before the presidential election, he realized that this was going to look bad, so he dropped out of the effort. But this kind of thing is what the US government does all the time in regard to patents and copyrights. They don't even mind if people get patented to death. So it's important for countries to work together against this. For more information about the problem of software patents, see www.programming-freedom.org and www.ffii.org. And there is also a petition to sign, www.noepatents.org. Please talk with all executives of businesses, any kind of businesses, about this issue. make sure they understand the extent of the problems they face, and that they think of going to business organizations to have them lobby against software patents.